Oh my God.
So the new Doctor Who, what do we think?
Well, you know, it's a new writer, and this was his first attempt, so I thought it was perfectly fine.
I kind of didn't care for it. I liked the first episode of the return with Clara. Not really so much the second episode. I just kind of felt it was weak. There were plot holes that weren't addressed.
And I know you were bothered that the Doctor kind of wandered away for a little bit, but I think that's a throwback to the episode with Donna, where he did the same thing to Donna. He just kind of disappeared, and Donna was in this alien market and got in trouble, and hijinks ensued.
Yeah, but I think that's just the hallmark of sloppy writing.
Well, that's true, you know, throwing back to somebody else's idea. But, you know, for a first-time Who writer, I thought it was fine.
If every companion stayed with every Doctor no matter what, there wouldn't be any stories.
Yeah, we were watching.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to separate them, do it for a reason. Tell us why this is happening. Instead of just like, oh, he's just mysteriously not there for 25 minutes.
Well, it was kind of a Doctor Who trope, though, that the companion always gets separated and off into their own thing. You know, we were watching a Christopher Eccleston episode, and the comment was, just once you'd think I could travel with someone who understands the phrase, don't wander off.
Yeah, but they didn't show her wandering off. They just showed it was the Doctor
who wandered off, right?
Yeah, but he didn't come back having done any. He came back with the same fruit that they didn't like before.
Yes.
It was just lame.
I thought it was a great speech at the end where he's telling the creature, oh, you want memories, take mine. And you start thinking about all the people that he's ever known, and I just, oh, it was too much. I sat there and
that might be kind of cool, but does the Doctor have amnesia now? Because that
true.
whole thing didn't make any kind of sense.
Did the thing attempt to eat his memories and end up getting choked on it? We don't know. Yeah.
No, it didn't choke on his memories. It choked on what all of the infinite possibilities that never were, because Clara's mother did one thing instead of something else.
Right. The whole leaf thing, right?
Yeah, I also want to know how Clara's mother died, because that's not...
That wasn't really explained. It's just, bang, she's dead.
Hold on.
Has parents, as opposed to Amy Pond, who seems to have been cut from whole cloth.
No, here's a question. I remember one of the newer doctors, was dying and transforming into the new Doctor, and he started screaming about how much pain it was and that it wasn't, you know, it was actually that Doctor dying. It wasn't like he was just transforming into a new Doctor, you know?
No, it's supposed to – it is very painful, apparently, was what they were going for there.
And you had the bit with David Tennant going, I don't want to go.
Yeah, well, because it is – you know, it is death still. Like, it's an entirely different personality. Like, it's kind of like the death of multiple personality disorder. You know, it's not good. Is what that scene is trying to communicate. But I don't know. I just that whole Rings of Whatever episode, it just kind of felt a little bit slapdash.
Yeah, I can see that argument. I thought it was fine. You know, it beats some of the filler episodes they've had where the Doctor hasn't been in it at all, right?
Yeah, well, it started off really promising, and I guess if we're just going to consider it a Mantis Teacher episode, then yeah, fine, but I was kind of expecting more from the fact that, I don't know, we've only got, like, what, 8 episodes to figure out this whole Clara thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't move forward the Clara plot at all. We still don't know much of anything about where it's going.
Well, and
although my wife has been reading spoilers.
Well, not spoilers, just theories.
The one of the fan theories going out is that Rose set this whole thing up as somebody behind to keep an eye on the Doctor.
Yeah, that sounds really great, but Rose was like 6 years ago. The fandom has kind of moved on.
That's true.
well, it wouldn't be the first time that a minor plot point from 6 years ago all of a sudden has major relevance in today. You know, they might actually use that as a hook, because there's always the creators sometimes say, oh, you know what, that fan theory, you know, make a great plot.
Yeah, but you know, the show has increased in popularity more so because of, you know, the Amy Pond, you know, 3 or 4 years than it did in just the 2 years that Rose was on. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of almost feels like ancient history now, and a completely different show, which is part actually, of the time of Doctor
But it would Rose. Actually encourage new viewers to go back and watch old episodes. See, so they say, wait, what are they talking about? Oh, I see.
I don't know. Yeah, that feels like a stretch.
The fan theory tied it in with Bad Wolf, and Bad Wolf was like 2005.
Yeah, I mean, that's now we're pushing it, I feel, to try to connect it to Rose. Like, her story's done.
Someone has pointed out, in fact, it was the Entertainment Weekly reviewer who is now reviewing Doctor Who for them, that the end date on Clara's mother's headstone was
2005.
March something of 2005, and apparently it turns out to be the same date as Rose's first adventure with the Ninth Doctor.
Interesting.
Okay, so there could be some minor coincidence about Clara's mother died the day the Doctor met Rose when the plastics invaded. Okay, that's nice, but it's not enough to hang a season.
Maybe she was killed by one of the plastics.
Well, because as far as we can tell, Clara has lived and died in exactly the same way in three separate time periods. And I don't know about
I don't know that that's true, though, because we've only seen Clara die twice. So the Clara that we have now could easily be the one that becomes the Dalek.
That's true. I was kind of hoping that they were going to do oh my God, they killed Clara, you bastards, every episode. I thought that
would
be...
Well, yeah, like she just keeps dying. That'd be hysterical.
Over and over and over again. Because part of the reason that the Doctor was so broke up with the whole Amy and Rory thing was that they had actually died. And if you had a companion that every single time they die, it would be a very good way to get over, you know, people that had died previously.
Well, oh, additionally, there has got to be a reason why the Doctor has two hearts is important, because they mentioned it, no joke, 5 times in 2 episodes.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know, perhaps I should leave the pond to the past, but am I the only one who was annoyed that Rory's dad didn't get his shot at, you know, being a companion before they brought in Clara?
No, you are.
They did that with Donna's dad, though. And doing it again with Rory's dad would just seem old.
I don't know, but Brian just seemed like he would have absolutely been completely chuffed to go off in time and space and you know... go whacking around the
room. But then you kind of have to have a moment of the Doctor being like, your daughter and son-in-law have been dead for 100 years.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
Did you guys cover that the Xbox just got its price? The new Xbox got its price announced.
No, the Xbox. The
new one is $500 with a $300 22-year subscription model.
And what?
2-year subscription model where you're forced to subscribe to Xbox Live.
Okay,
and
forced?
I don't know.
Well, if you want the subsidized console, they're selling it on a cell phone style contract.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's,
my God.
That's,
wait, what?
That's wrong. I'm sorry. Microsoft Studios Creative Director Adam Martha sending out tweets responding to the recent rumors regarding that and the always-on internet connection, saying it's wrong. So, you know what they say, you know, don't listen to rumors.
So if it does end up being right, I don't believe that – I think Sony won the console.
No, because the thing is that you don't seem to understand. It's entirely possible that Microsoft will do the cell phone thing in which, you know, you could you could buy the 720 for $400, but if you want to just pay $99 and get 2 years of Xbox Live, or just pay $50 and 2 years of Xbox Live, which a lot of cell phone companies do, which a lot of other people do. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to buy Xbox Live anyway. You know, they'll say, "What? Okay, I'll pay the $99 and just subscribe and commit to 2 years."
If that stuff isn't true, then it pretty much, since the PS4 is now docking 2005 and running on x86 architecture like everybody else.
Because the other thing is that if that's true, what's going to happen is that the you have to understand, that's like having a high-end card in every console that costs $500. You know, $400 to $500, which would make the PlayStation 4 astronomically expensive to produce. They're going to reduce that. Keep in mind, they didn't even say what the size of the hard drive was going to be at their conference, let alone say what the price was.
I don't see anything confirming a $500 price point. There was a leaked roadmap document that put the price at $300. There's an analyst saying $400. There's another analyst saying $500.
But here's the thing is that
Google right now, I don't see anything.
I remember, and Jordan remembers this too, when the PlayStation 2 was supposed to run AOL, was to be 1,000 times more powerful than the PS1, blah, 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 blah. You never listen to anything until they actually have the actual dev, you know, the specs in hand and ready to go. That's why we had no idea what
I don't believe anything until the console's sitting in my house.
What? I mean, you don't believe a word that anybody said. That's why Microsoft always says we don't comment on rumors or speculation, because what might be true today won't be true later. You know, because even if they did have an always-on connection, they could turn that off like a few weeks before the 360 is released and say, oh, you know what, forget it, with a firmware update. It's bunkum.
Change stuff like that.
So what did you guys do with Doctor Who?
I thought it was boring. I thought that.
Oh, thank God, because I didn't want you to think that it was awesome and for me to start trashing it.
No, the Ice Warrior thing, it was cool seeing the Ice Warrior again. And I don't know, you know, how much steeped you are in Doctor Who lore, but, you know, since we've come back from the break, they've done nothing but Patrick Troughton villains, right? The Great Intelligence was from Patrick Troughton, Doctor Number Two. The Ice Warriors were from Doctor Number Two. So I don't know quite what they're going with, but it really felt like a filler episode. And I'm also kind of disappointed that 1983 is apparently like ancient history now, because that's when I started watching Doctor Who. And now that's not modern era anymore. That's now a period piece in Doctor Who, and I'm somewhat disappointed about that.
The entire season is just becoming such a disappointment.
Yeah, It felt like filler. It was kind of neat being in the submarine and water dropping from the ceiling and all of that, but yeah.
It was so, I mean, the setting instantly turned me off.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of a little miniature alien.
Absolutely. Oh my God, it was so lame.
I'm just hoping that by the end of the season, all of this makes sense. There's so much that so far has not made sense. You know, the Clara keeps getting killed and coming back, and
we don't know which one is the real Clara.
Yeah,
or the Clara Prime.
And to be fair, the Doctor did not intend to land on a submarine. He was clearly anticipating going to Las Vegas. But yes, why he would be wanting to go to Las Vegas in 1983, or was he even shooting for that time period? These are questions I think would be the only relevant takeaways from this episode.
He said at the end of the episode that he had been tinkering with the TARDIS again, you know, and that's, which is why the TARDIS just up and disappeared, you know, 2 minutes into the episode.
Yeah, that was
Why this TARDIS up and disappeared in 2 minutes into the episode. Because that's the only way they were going to be able to create dramatic tension with that crap story.
Right. Because otherwise, okay,
we're not going to run out of it. Or open the door.
Okay, everybody into the TARDIS. Let's get out of here.
Well, okay. Yeah. Forgive me for wondering, but this was my question about last week's episode. They found the damn TARDIS. Bloody hell.
We're doing the Doctor Who portion of the podcast.
Damn it. I was about to ask a question about an episode that you made me sit through that totally had nothing to do with Clara.
Oh, okay.
why when they were in ancient Rome and it was the doctor and Donna and they found the TARDIS in that guy's room in Pompeii, why didn't they just go open the damn door and go, see ya, bye?
Well, they couldn't because there was like alien technology involved, and then that made it more of the doctor's problem than otherwise. Initially, they thought, we're talking about the episode Fires of Pompeii, by the way. But
I'm aware.
So the whole thing was that if they had just taken off and left, then the evil volcano people would have blown up the Earth, and not the volcano destroying Pompeii. The doctor actually destroyed Pompeii. He had to stay there to fix that point in history.
The one of the major premises of the show is that history is always vulnerable.
Right.
Right. Well, and then he tries to point out that there are some things that are just fixed points. And I don't know, I thought it was a little bit selfish and just slightly awful of Donna to try to, beat him over the head and make him feel bad about something that she'd probably read a million times in a history class and hadn't given a second thought to.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I showed Jennifer that episode was because it featured Karen Gillian in her first Doctor Who role before she became Amy. So that was kind of a flashback to see if she would actually recognize Amy before she was Amy or not. She didn't. Ooh,
speaking of Amy and reading and past companions, did either of you guys notice that the book that Clara gives the kid in her first episode as the current three episodes?
Yes.
Clara. Did either of you notice that was written by Amelia Pond?
Yes, I noticed that away. Yes,
he did. He had to show it to me. I don't know. It seems to me that the whole thing with the doctor and Clara is that the writers are just starting to figure out the dynamic between the two of them. You know, what's the thing between the doctor and Clara?
They've only got, let's see, how many episodes were we promised? Seven.
So they've got three or four episodes are left, I think.
They've got four episodes to wrap up this whole "How did she die twice" thing.
Yeah.
I know, but
which we could easily explain, in the course of 5 seconds. It was her daughter named after herself. It was a clone. It was some weird time paradox. It was one of them didn't really happen. Doctor, you're a fuck up.
What I find interesting is that this is not. This is the first time that they've attempted to explain it in canon in the show, but this is not the first actress to pop up multiple times before becoming a companion, as I mentioned.
This is true, Martha Jones.
Martha Jones was in before she became a companion. She got killed by the Cybermen. The actress who played Donna was in The Runaway Bride before she became Donna. So
But wasn't that Donna?
I don't think that was Donna,
I think that was Donna.
Was that actually Donna? I don't remember.
I think that actually was Donna is the point there because that was with the Rachnos, and when Donna's brain is about to be fried by the Master in that whole way too long 5-part series about how he brings back Gallifrey, she clearly remembers the Rachnos before she's passing out. God, I watched too much fucking Doctor Who.
Wow.
Oh my God, my brain hurts.
It just seems like the writers are struggling to find a groove because it's been the Doctor and Rory and Amy for so long now.
Only been 2 years, Doctor, Rory, Amy.
That's a very long time for Doctor Who, though. I mean, that's up there with like Sarah Jane level type, like.
No, Rose was on for 3 years.
Well, that's true. Rose was on for 3 years. That's true.
And it was, frankly, when she was on,
go of Rose. Even when she was off the show, she kept popping back in.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Rose show because she brought with her a whole new audience.
Yeah.
And so it was through her learning about the Doctor that I did, for one, and, a whole new segment.
Billy Piper was what made Christopher Eccleston watchable, to be real.
That's true. And oh my God, what the hell happened to her face? The poor thing. Never mind.
Well, that's not nice.
John Barrow.
When they brought her back from that alternate dimension, there was something wrong with her face. You could actually Google what is wrong with Billy Piper's face, and it'll autofill in for you.
She got in an accident or something, from what I recall. It's kind of unfair. It's kind of like Mark Hamill going into Empire and had to get mauled to explain why his face was different.
Something unfortunate happened, but she also had to choose the path of correcting it, and it just didn't come out right.
Oh.
But I was going to say something else now, and I don't remember what it was. But it must not have been important. Okay, fine.
But yeah, I'm really getting disappointed because they were like, because when the Christmas episode came out, it was like, oh my God, it's going to be this giant thing. It's going to be this giant mystery. How did somebody die twice for the first time in 50 years? And we haven't addressed it at all.
Yeah. What at all. Say was something about John Barrowman, dear.
Oh, John Barrowman didn't age well either. Have you seen him on Arrow recently?
This is Jackie, Captain Jack.
Yeah. No, it's Captain Jack, yeah.
Oh, I've got stories about Captain Jack, but that'll be
for another time. Oh my God, he was...
That'll be for another time, kids.
Yeah, that'll be the X-rated version of the podcast.
He was very pretty.
Right?
He was very pretty back in the day, but
yes, he was. Oh, but I digress. I signed paperwork.
If you see him on Arrow now, he has not aged well.
Oh, wait, you mean abs?
Well, they haven't shown his abs, but...
No, yeah. I mean, that show is just named...
Oh, abs. The name of the show is abs, yes.
Yeah, who was it that has his... has altered his contract?
Yeah, the main character, the character who plays Green Arrow in Arrow, has changed his contract now, so he does not have to take his shirt off in season 2.
Oh, that kid's stupid! My God, are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. He didn't want to be shirtless in the second season, so I can't, you know.
I think he wants to be able to actually eat like a normal human at some point.
Well, you know what? Screw him. People are going to stop watching that show now. That's exactly what happened to Queer as Folk when Randy Harrison quit showing his ass.
Apparently, there will still be topless stuff. It's just going to be a body double. It won't be him.
Oh, who cares? No. Now I won't even get into the show. Now I won't even start watching it. To hell with that.
I'm guessing that you're one of the people who is going back and watching all of the Mike and Tina stuff on Glee just to spot the actor who played Mike Chang whenever he would take his shirt off, because God knows they did look for excuses.
I'm sorry. Nobody besides preteen girls and perhaps preteen homosexuals has a reason to watch Glee.
Oh,
says the man who used to live blog it on his Facebook page.
Yeah, well, that's back when it was good. I'm sorry. That show jumped the shark when the kids graduated high school, and it should have been shut down.
Okay.
And you know what? They did Let's Have a Kiki. And you know what? That's not what a fucking kiki means. Let's just clarify this shit right now. That song is wrong.
Their perfect opportunity to end the show when everybody graduated and they won nationals, and that should have been the end. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? What's her name should not have gotten into that school, because that is sending a horrible message to America's youth. That all you have to do is whine and bitch and carry on, and you can get whatever you want.
And then Kurt did the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul. Have you ever done customer service work before? I think the American public has gotten that message loud and clear long before Glee.
Yeah, but you can be polite.
Okay, we're gonna have to wrap this up. So.
All right. We wandered off topic, but yeah.
That's just Doctor Who has been so disappointing.
Let's hope Doctor Who is much worth talking about next week.
Well, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now.
Two weeks or 3 weeks or whenever it is.
Because, you know, you have to have more material to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, if it was a good episode, we would have been able to pull it apart, but it just sucked.
I got my first Kickstarter project sent to me, aside from the comic.
I am meeting with an Ouya developer on Wednesday.
Good for you.
Yeah, we'll write an article about it on...
I will write an article about it once I have something to write about.
Yeah,
but
here's the thing is that I finally got a physical Kickstarter project back to me. It's a card game called Tontine.
Oh, good for you.
You know what a Tontine is, right?
No.
Tontine is a green... Well... we're in agreement where people make that the last survivor will get whatever the stuff is.
Oh, yes, yes, a tontine. Yes, I understand. You were saying it like it was a person's name. I kept hearing, like, Tom Team.
What? Anyways.
Yeah, you're saying it funny.
Anyways, go ahead and discuss Doctor Who for this week.
Okay, so I woke up this morning... And I quickly watched Doctor Who on demand, knowing that we'd be having this conversation tonight, and I'd missed it all weekend long, because I was unwell. I think I went out in the sun too long.
I kind of lost the plot halfway through, and I stopped paying attention. So I'm not even really. It just didn't grab me. I was more interested in the computer about halfway through. The ghost thing was kind of interesting, and then I saw that it was actually a time traveler from an alternate future who got stuck in time, and so on and so forth. But
she was one of the pioneers of human time travel.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But so from some point in the future.
Yes, I kind of lost interest. I'm sorry. I wanted to like it. I need to go back and rewatch it and actually pay full attention this time.
Well, the only interesting thing about it really was the bit towards the end where the doctor specifically had brought Clara to meet that psychic to try to get a little further into the mystery of the girl who died twice.
Exactly. He knew exactly who the scientist and the psychic were and brought Clara for that express purpose. That was interesting. And then the whole bit with the monster in the woods that he had to go help too, because you can't just leave the monster in the woods behind.
Yeah, but I didn't really care. It's a monster.
So, Paul.
Yes, Madam Lund. Yes, Madam Lund. I'm here. I'm listening. You don't have to repeat yourself unless you're going senile.
Oh, I just wasn't sure if you had heard me over the sound of your own voice.
No, I'm sorry. I don't usually hear people over the sound of my own ego, but for you, I'll make an exception.
Aw, thank you. So what was your take on the way they kind of bludgeoned us over the head with the whole love story angle?
The love story between the scientist and the psychic?
Well, there's scientist and psychic and monster and monsterette. And I don't know. It seems to me that they're kind of, hinting very broadly at the doctor and Clara.
I told her that Clara is a rebound relationship.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, as far as we know, she's only going to be around for another 3 or so episodes. I'm not really getting too attached to her. I don't think that it's a really great thing that she magically learned in the space of 10 minutes to fly the TARDIS. I did kind of like the idea of the TARDIS not liking her and not letting her in. I mean, it's nice that they addressed that from the Rings of Wherever episode where it just didn't let her in because it doesn't like her because she's a bitch.
Oh.
Well, and then
I take it back. She's an anomaly. She's an anomaly. She shouldn't exist because she already died twice.
It was kind of a throwback to the Neil Gaiman episode where the TARDIS was personified.
I really like that episode.
The woman who likes biting because it's like kissing only with a winner.
I forgot she said that.
But
see, here's my problem, that they had a holographic interface for the TARDIS in through which the TARDIS could speak again through the same actress that played Clara. I'm just getting a little concerned that they're gonna fall back on that a few too many times. Like, that's becoming the whole point of the Doctor's Wife episode was that it was special that we got to see that the TARDIS was thinking and what it was thinking and that it could communicate finally for this one time. And now it's got a holographic interface, which they're using kind of willy-nilly, and it's not really feeling special anymore.
Maybe Claire is a hologram all the time.
maybe she's not really real. And the TARDIS is trying to heal the Doctor after having lost Rory and Amy.
Ooh, better yet. Maybe the Doctor has gotten all Fight Club on himself. Clara is just another personality of our favorite Time Lord.
Oh, dear. Well, and here's the scary part is that if Clara is, you know, let's assume for a moment that she's her own creature and she's a rebound, this means that the Doctor is recovering from a long-term threesome.
Well, hey, Time Lords, they can come back as opposite genders. They don't think of these things the same way that humans do, especially humans in our century.
Do they come back as opposite genders? I haven't seen
Yes,
that.
They do. Yes, they do. The Doctor has himself said that he was a woman in one reincarnation.
We never saw that.
I know we never saw that, but he said that it was true.
If that's true, then we're down one regeneration then.
Yeah, but the whole point between the ancient show and the Chris Eccleston reboot was that there's an entire time period there. We don't know how many regenerations he's been through because we don't know how many regenerations a Time Lord has regularly, plus however many additional ones there were, plus the River Song regenerative energy. I mean, that's the great thing about science fiction. You could just keep making up techno magic as much as it serves a good story.
Canon was that he was limited to 12.
But then things changed.
That's true.
So he could have had like 5. He definitely, I mean, we all saw when he got River's life. So does that mean he has another 10 regenerations in him? I mean, sure, if the series is profitable and we want to keep having, you know, another 10 actors,
they'll find a way. You know, it could be that he inherited the regenerations from all the dead Time Lords, and so now he's got infinite regenerations.
I mean, it could be that he's the son of God and was accidentally mistaken as Jesus back in the day. I mean, it's science fiction. We could do anything we want with it. It's fantastic that way. I love fiction.
There's always a way. There will be a way to make it happen.
Yeah, you're only actually dead if the producers don't like you. And even then.
Or in Eccleston's case, just not willing to come back.
Yeah,
but I was kind of getting bored with the angry Chris Eccleston warrior doctor.
Yeah, I guess I still would like to see an actual Time War episode or a pair of Time War episodes.
Nah, I'm really not interested in Gallifrey, like, at all.
Oh.
Like, screw them.
Well, I would like to see the extermination of the Time Lords and how he came to that decision and all of that good stuff.
I think that... See, here's my problem with that theory. Do we remember Heroes on NBC?
Yes.
They did really, really well with their whole Save the Cheerleader, Save the World thing. Because it was a mystery. And people like mysteries. Problem is, once you have a mystery like that and it's solved, like it was at the end of the first season of Heroes, the rest of the show becomes like, oh, who cares? So if we knew everything about the Doctor, we'd stop caring. And the show would tank.
Twin Peaks.
But next week's episode
is... Twin Peaks. We found out who killed Laura Palmer, and we were on to the next thing.
Next week's episode is getting to the heart of the TARDIS, though, and that one looks cool.
That does look fascinating, because I want to see an entire episode just in different rooms of the TARDIS, because, man, I want to see how big that swimming pool could possibly be.
They did that with one of the Tom Baker episodes was nothing but I think in fairness they ran out of budget, so they just used the same 4 rooms over and over again. They would go down a flight of stairs into a room and they'd go, hey, this is the same room, and then they'd go down a flight of stairs into the same room.
And you know what? That's fun when you use your existing budget creatively. Like there was that one episode with Amy and Rory and the Doctor when they couldn't figure out which reality was the dream, and half of the entire show just took place in the cockpit of the TARDIS.
Yes.
What a way to save money.
Yeah.
And narratively...
Creative writing. And that's one of the things that I always find interesting about
constraints, right? When you put an artificial constraint on a creator, they will figure out a way to work within it and make it work. And without that constraint, it's simply not as interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And the same thing is true in game design, that without a set of limitations to work within, it's much harder to get good creative solutions to problems, because game designers like solving problems. I mean, that's what we do.
Movies. The Hays Code was a good idea.
The Hays Code was a very good idea.
Except that people like Paul would never be able to be on in movies. With the Hays Code, you couldn't say the word pregnant. And married couples...
So someone like me, who's constantly pregnant, just would get no screen time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Because Cary Grant never worked under the Hays Code.
But Cary Grant wasn't a flaming homosexual.
Well,
no. I resent that. He most certainly was.
Yeah. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Okay.
But you look at one of the classic examples. I point to the power of constraint. Is if you look at the old Ren and Stimpy stuff, the stuff John Kricfalusi did while working for Nickelodeon is some of the funniest, most subversive stuff I've ever seen. And then when he did the direct to DVD Ren and Stimpy with absolutely no control, it absolutely sucked.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta say, there's a real shortage of actual good comedy out there. I really love the original Muppet movie because it was funny. There was comedy there. That stuff's gold, people.
And that's comedy.
And it's like, I feel like Slappy Squall sometimes from the Animaniacs. It's like, nobody knows what comedy is anymore.
Oh, you're not old enough to be Slappy. Seriously, you're not old enough to be that cranky.
Well, I'm not that cranky, but I have a degree in communications. I mean, I've studied this stuff over the last, 200 years. And there's just a real, with the greater amount of content, there's just a lower quality of it across the board.
Interesting.
That's just a personal gripe, but, yeah, okay, we'll bring it back to Doctor Who. Remember when there was Doctor Who and Torchwood and the Sarah Jane Chronicles and then, Doctor Who Confidential? It was just like oversaturation.
The animated Doctor Who.
The animated Doctor Who. The radio Doctor Who. It was just like really? Like every episode of every franchise of everything is the goddamn Daleks? Like, kill me.
But the kids
like it stopped. Yeah, but it stopped being anything that was thought-provoking or well-crafted. It stopped doing what science fiction does best, which is become a mirror of the human condition. It just became like, oh, look at me, I'm an evil Pepper Pot here to destroy you.
Pepper Pot named a Dalek.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like content over quality over quantity.
Okay. I guess we're going to wrap this up. I think you've gone.
I think we're done. Yep.
Yeah, we're done complaining about the Haunted House episode.